Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Paul Mescal is here. Paul, how are you?
I'm great.
It's so good to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time, because look, this is probably the busiest you're going to be on this promo tour for Gladiator 2. So thanks for taking the time and this like lengthened out time for us today. I just want to say, first and foremost, I went to the premiere last night. Mm-hmm. It is such a phenomenal movie. It is like easily as good as whatever impressions people have about Gladiator, the first one. This is so up there. It's unbelievable. I'm so immensely proud of what you did. So congratulations on a round of applause.
You're very kind. Thank you very much. Thanks.
What's it like coming home to Ireland for this?
I mean, I was just saying to you off air there, when you go on like press tours, I haven't done a press tour like this before. Sure. And you're going to kind of every corner of the world, which is incredibly, like we were in Australia, what felt like yesterday.
Yeah.
But we were like, we've been in Australia and Tokyo. And you kind of look at this, the tour out in advance, and you go, we're going to do X, Y, Z. But, and you kind of lose track of all the individual moments. So like landing into Dublin, 2 days ago? And then when we were in the car on the way to the premiere, we could hear the noise as we were kind of turning up a street. And I turned to my friend Ellie. I was like, what is going on? Like, because you just don't follow, like, you don't assume that people are gonna come out. And I was like really, honestly, really quite moved by the whole thing. Like, I think I was on the red carpet and I wasn't even sure what words I was saying.
That's fine, like, yeah, because I did have a clip earlier on where you just said, this is so, you paused and went, mental.
Mental, yeah.
But I do think about you in that situation because, like, it's not like you've been an actor for 40 years and done 17, press tours and premieres like this, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you made the point last night in the cinema that it was 5 years ago that Lenny Abramson cast you in Normal People. Paul, mm-hmm. to go for 5 years in any career to get to Gladiator 2, you must know that's a phenomenal rise.
I was really moved to see Lenny in the audience last night. Like, I knew he was going to be there, but then kind of being in front of a film like Gladiator 2, but also being in front of Lenny, who cast me in Normal People, and kind of that being the first junction which has gotten me to this point. And I know, like, 5 years feels like nothing, but sometimes within it feels like a long time.
And your family were there. I met some of your cousins last night. I know Nisha, your cousin,
Nisha's here
in the audience. Hi, Nisha.
Hi, Nisha.
There in the corner.
Yeah.
But I met them in a restaurant randomly, and they knew me, and then they introduced themselves, whatever. But I just, again, thought of you as you walked out before the audience in the cinema to speak, and how amazing it must be to look up and see, Lenny Abramson, and celebrities family here, there, never, but your family there
they
in
took
rows.
Half the cinema.
Yeah, but
I mean, like, there's versions of this which are like on both sides of the scale overwhelming. Like, there's, and last night was on the utterly positive side of overwhelming.
Okay.
It's like a homecoming and back in a city that I feel totally comfortable in, with ultimately the people that I make. Like, you make films for a general audience, but really the book stops for me with what my mom and dad think, what my aunties and uncles think, what the people I love, what they think about it.
Yeah.
So to have that, and also just, like, incredibly grateful that, like, Paramount included Dublin on this.
In a huge way.
Like, it was, like, I'm really, really grateful to them for that.
And let's talk about the movie itself, okay? Look, obviously, we never give spoilers away. We won't do anything.
Let's do it on this. Come on, let's spoil it.
Yeah, the last interview we ever did with Paramount. No, but let's talk about this movie, because it's not like there's been a rake of sequels in this. This has been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. It's Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
He doesn't make films lightly. So talk about, first of all, the conversation with him. How did it become that you ended up being this character?
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly well documented at this point, but I did a half an hour Zoom with him, which is just a mad sentence in any context, but half an hour Zoom and then landing the role was not something I expected. But anybody who knows Ridley just knows how instinctively he is and how little patience he has in the best sense. So he's not gonna, if he feels like he's got his guy, he's just gonna go for it. So thankfully I was his guy. So we spoke for 10 minutes about, because I hadn't read a script, about the film, and then 20 minutes about Gaelic football and dogs and everything in between. But yeah, I think the fact that we've been waiting, 24 years. Actually,
funny little story for you. It was the very first date my wife and I went on was to see Gladiator in the cinema.
How did that? Well, obviously went well, but
it went very well. We have four children, and actually, I brought my eldest to the cinema last night, which was just, I know, I suppose, in the romantic thing, I should have brought her, but it was just kind of a lovely thing that you know, we got the first movie, we got together, and here we are in the second movie, and bring him
and your son. Yeah, that's amazing.
It was, it genuinely was amazing.
Yeah. And I watched it for the first time with my dad.
Did you?
Like, Gladiator. For the first, the Gladiator one,
Funny, I actually, someone told me, you watched that, were you 13 or something when that came out?
Somewhere, 13 like that, to 15. Yeah. I was probably on the younger side.
Right.
That was probably appropriate.
We have a little bit of a loose relationship in our house with swearing, okay? Like, they're allowed to listen to music that might have swearing, but they're not allowed to really use it. But he did say to me, he leaned over, and he went, Dad, pardon my language, but that is the best effing movie I've ever seen. I was like, yes, you're allowed to say that, because he's absolutely right. It is absolutely phenomenal movie. Let's talk about your... Because when the trailer came out, you were kind enough to speak to me then, and we talked about your physical transformation, but let's talk about that in a bit more detail, because, like, you know, you definitely embodied this role of Lucius. You embodied this. You took up the screen. Yeah. And I wonder what that was like for you, because we all see the end results, but what was that like for you on the build-up to that?
Look, I grew up playing Gaelic football and grew up playing rugby, so it wasn't like it was an alien language to me to, like, go to the gym or anything like that. But I think the closer I got to shooting, the more excited I became, because I think if anybody's seen anything that I'm in, it's probably Normal People, After Sun, and All of Us Strangers. And all of those things are just very, very different characters. So the closer I was kind of seeing myself, like the finished product of myself, I was like, this is actually exciting, because I'm getting at, like, I'm giving any audience that I have a big shift or something to kind of to see in a different light. But it, like, there was no kind of reinventing the wheel with it. It's hard work. It's the kind of thing that it just requires consistency.
Yeah.
Like my trainer, the main thing he said is, like, I don't care what happens. Like, even if you're not performing well in the gym, as long as you're not missing sessions. My thing was to just, like, don't miss any sessions, and then that was the plan.
And you also mentioned the fact that, like, the Gaelic football experience that you had definitely stood to you in the physicality of this. Yeah. But even, as you said, even talking to Ridley Scott on the first Zoom, it came up. So where does that sit in this? I mean, we're here in Croke Park.
There's lots of undercurrents
and things.
Categorically
here.
The best place I've ever done an interview. Absolutely.
But then, I suppose, tell me then, what does the GAA mean in the scheme of this thing?
Well, the GAA is probably where I learned a lot of the physical language for what it's like to try and motivate. Like, obviously, motivating GAA players is the closest thing I can get to motivating gladiators.
Absolutely,
And I've had great reference points. I've been in chaotic dressing rooms with lots of people shouting and roaring. And so that language, that physical language, is familiar to me, because I think that if you haven't been in a dressing room environment, you don't necessarily, you can't fake the thing of, like, standing up in front of a group of people and kind of trying to have an air of authority about you. So I've been privy to a lot of great speakers and a lot of great dressing rooms.
That definitely in front, because that side of the performance that you give is so amazing.
Thanks.
Like, all of that kind of, that spoken word, that underlying seething strength and rage is just, it's phenomenal. Okay, look, we're here in the home of GAA, right? I guess in some ways this is our Coliseum, right in the heart of Dublin City. So I'd like to paint a little picture for you, right?
Okay.
If I gave you the choice, standing on stage in Hollywood and winning the Oscar and making that speech.
Oh, don't do it.
Or, no, I'm doing this.
Don't do it to me.
Or standing down there with Sam Maguire in your hand, making that speech for your county. If you have to pick one.
I mean, like, can you imagine what would happen in Kildare if we won an All-Ireland?
Yes, that's why
it would be the most incredible.
Up the lilies.
I think, honestly, like, that, to go up Hogan Stand I think that would be pretty special. And Oscar would be great too. Don't get me wrong. Both.
Well, actually, one of the listener questions, which I'll get to now, just because you've led into it, is: would you not do the acting in the winter time and play for
in the off season.
yeah. Play for Kildare when you can.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I tried to make them both work out, yeah. But then a broken jaw is a great leveler. I think.
Ridley Scott may not be too impressed. He might have to write that into the action scene.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's, I think both is on the cards.
Yeah.
When your parents, right, are seeing you. In the say scenario you were in yesterday, where you walk out, everyone cheers. I say your name, everyone cheers. Uh-huh. Like, they're still your parents. You're still their son. Like, how did they cope with this level of adulation? Like,
My parents are extraordinary. Like, you've met them.
They're
the most extraordinary people I know. But, like, I was alarmed last night because I was getting out of the car and I was, like, spooked in the best way. I was just like, what is happening? And then I walk up the steps and there's my sister and my dad and my mum and my brother is coming over for the match tonight. But I think as these things go, they're mental. Mm. But I think for some reason we seem to have a tenuous grasp on it.
Okay.
How, I don't know. But
it's there.
But I think the only understanding I have of my parents is that they've always been incredibly dexterous and able to move with the way that our lives have gone. And I don't know where they learned the language for that, but I don't want to jinx anything. Whatever they're doing is working for me. Anyway.
I was going to say, because it's obviously genetically passed down, because you, I know you're overwhelmed and all that, but you are calm about these things. And you do, and look, maybe it's an Irish thing. Like, we are, you know, pretty level-headed and grounded human beings, and maybe we don't let each other get up too high.
I think the word overwhelmed is like true, but it's also, I'd rather be that than comfortable with this, because I think the minute you become comfortable with it, it becomes less exciting. If this was normal, then what's extraordinary?
What's extraordinary then,
So I think if there's moments in this that is overwhelming, that's, I feel like that's par for the course. But I've also got not just my family, an amazing group of people around me that have been around me for 5-6 years that make it all feel more comfortable.
I think we all think this is a bit of a watershed moment in your career, that like, you know, you've done so much stuff, there's been nominations, you know, there's been acclaim, but there hasn't really been, you know, this level. I mean, Ridley Scott, Gladiator 2, 24 years in the making. Everybody on earth is going to know who Paul Mescal is and is going to want a piece of you. How are you with the idea of that? Because you're starting to see it now, but your life is going to immeasurably change after this movie comes out.
It'd be naive to assume that there won't be some sort of shift, but I think that's the kind of thing that I actually don't want to go down the avenue of kind of predicting what that'll look like. Not in a kind of, to avoid the question, but just actually, I didn't know what it was going to look like after normal people. And there was parts of that that were difficult, but actually it was grand. You go back to work, you've the same group of friends, you've got an amazing supportive family. So it does, weirdly, I'm less nervous about this junction than I was when Normal People was happening.
Okay, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
because that would have been, I suppose that was probably the bigger shift.
Well, that was like not to 60.
Exactly. Now we're going to 100 or whatever.
Fingers crossed. People have to go out and watch the movie first.
Oh, trust me, people will go and watch this movie. I was so glad to see Connie Nielsen back in this, which people will have seen from the trailer. But, and I genuinely mean this, I think you are Oscar-worthy throughout. And I don't want to be that guy who's constantly making you react to this, but I genuinely mean it. But also, I think there's going to be a hell of a battle between Denzel Washington and Pedro Pascal for Best Supporting Actor. Because
I mean,
those two,
they're unbelievable.
Denzel is, again, I won't give it away, but he is flamboyantly terrifying through the entire movie.
He's having the most fun in this film.
Yeah.
But in a way that's just like, when I went to drama school, my acting teacher always said, nothing trumps experience. It does talent. And you can feel in his performance with this, the experience of like the comfort that he feels in front of the camera, and the kind of way that he's kind of picking his way through the most interesting choices to find a way to play this kind of, on paper, this villainous character, but he still brings he's like pulling the audience in, leaving little breadcrumbs, and he's just, I mean, to get to watch that performance on screen is one thing, but can you imagine being 5 feet in front of his face?
No, I can't.
Amazing.
Amazing. Right, there are some questions that have come in from people who are here in the audience. Hello. And also people who are outside. I will give a quick shout out to John Carey from Monaghan, who had the question, why aren't you playing for Kildare during the summer and acting the rest of the year?
Very good.
Okay, so Niamh Dunn from Louth. Niamh, are you here? Stick up your hand. There she is, standing up. Hi, Niamh.
Hi, Niamh.
Niamh's question is, what is the largest animal you could take in a fight? Great question.
It's the largest animal I could take in a fight.
Because there is a scene in this where you do take on an animal.
I take on a few animals.
Yeah. I don't know how you would do in real life against those animals, but I'm saying in real life, Niamh wants to know.
Well, it implies a general violence against animals, and so
let's assume it's a really nasty animal.
Let's assume it's an evil duck.
Duck.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd have to test it out. I'll come back to you with a proper answer at some point.
Alison Tracy is from Galway. Are you there, Alison? Yeah, she's over on that side. Hiya.
Hello.
Alison wants to know, what was your favourite protein to eat while bulking for Gladiator 2?
Chicken.
Chicken's the go-to, I think. Yeah. Chicken was the go-to.
Yeah, that was just for most people in France. Yeah. Rory McAvoy from Dublin. You there, Rory? Yeah, there he is right at the front. How are you, Rory? How are the nerves of the lead-up to the release of a movie? Is it similar to coming up to a big match?
Do you know what? It is actually kind of in the same world. I think it's different with this because it's... you start even pre... the premiere, the reviews coming out, you're kind of getting a flavour of how the audience
is going to receive it.
So it's like, at the moment, I feel like we're in our final lead into like a championship final and everybody's fit and healthy.
Okay.
So we're feeling good.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Siobhan O'Donnell from Limerick. Hi, Siobhan. Where are you? There you are. Hi, Siobhan. Siobhan says, when you finish a film, how long does it take you to come out of character?
It depends how long it is before the next one starts.
Right, okay.
I think.
But do you walk off the set of Gladiator 2 and walk down the road and start shouldering lads?
Yeah, like, start boshing people around the place. Yeah. Get out of my way. No, I normally, what I start to do now is I go down to my house in West Cork, straight, like I'll get out of wherever it is.
Morocco
and go,
or wherever.
Yeah, get out of Morocco, get back to Skull. And I'll go down there and decompress. But I don't like... carry it around.
You don't carry it anyway.
Like, some days are harder than others, and it takes a little second, but it's not a...
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bird told us, actually, that Siobhan, it might be your birthday today, is it?
Happy birthday.
Is it? Can we all sing a very quick happy birthday to Siobhan?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Siobhan.
Brilliant. There's a very local question for you from Alison Eaton in Kildare. She's not here today, but she wants to know, which GAA team did you have the least fun playing against? Oh. Moorfield or Sarsfield?
I hated both, to be honest.
What was your team?
Manute.
Okay.
I bad blood with Moorfield.
Okay,
so
we'll go
I'll go no
Moorfield.
Further with that.
Fair enough. This is a great one. Jennifer Bracken in Dublin. Who was the first person you told when you got the role of Gladiator?
It was a WhatsApp family group call into mum, dad. I can't remember if Nell picked up or not, but the information was spread very quickly within
and
the family.
I was going to say, and do you need... Because, I mean, obviously, look, you're a professional. You'll sign a contract. You'll do NDA. Sometimes I have to do them for movies. I understand. You understand. You literally can't talk about this, but... do, you know, mums, dads, brothers, sisters understand?
They're well versed with that now.
Okay.
Like, they have a deep desire to tell the whole world.
Yeah.
But they're good at keeping a secret.
Excellent. Matthew wanted to ask. No, hang on, not Matthew. Oh, yes, it was Aoife Shalvey from Cavan. Aoife, there you are. Hi, Aoife. Aoife's question is, do you bring tea bags to the US in the classic Ziploc bag?
You know, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I don't drink tea. I know, I don't drink tea. Everyone's going on about Barry's tea, and whenever I'm in an environment where people don't know, I just go, I love Barry's tea. Love this, great. Yeah.
So you didn't share with Pedro Pascal, which was her next question.
No, I didn't share Barry's tea with Pedro Pascal.
And is there much hurling in Hollywood, was the third part of her question.
Is there much hurling in Hollywood? There's not. I haven't actually spent a huge amount of time in LA, but to my eye, there's not a huge amount of hurling in Hollywood.
Fair. I know Nisha, your cousin, is here. Nisha, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but like, he seems so down to earth. He seems so cool with all this. You can just give me a nod, a yes or a no. Is he getting big-headed about being in Gladiator 2?
Careful. Okay.
No! Disappointing. He really isn't. He's still being sound, Paul. He's always sound. All right, fair enough. Listen, before I let you go, I want to give you a couple of things, right?
Excellent.
So first of all, as everyone knows, I have these fancy... It's fancy, unbreakable. Dave Moore, Bluetooth headphones.
Oh, thank you very much. But
yesterday was a big day for you with the Premier Gladiator in Ireland. It was also a big day for me because I brought out my Bad Jokes book.
Oh.
So I'd like to present you with a signed copy of my Bad Jokes
book
and give you my best, like, Roman joke, if that's okay.
Oh, please.
See what you think, okay?
And then can I read one of...
You can read one. Right. So the joke is, a gladiator walks into a bar and holds up two fingers and the barman gives him 5 pints. Roman numerals joke!
Very good. Very good.
Come on.
Can I read one?
Yes, please. A joke for Paul.
My granddad warned people the Titanic would sink. No one listened, but he kept warning them until they got sick of him and kicked him out of the cinema.
Very good. Very good.
Oh, listen.
Right.
Paul Mescal, on behalf of Ireland, I want to say we are so proud of everything you have achieved so far, everything you're about to do, but particularly this kind of pinnacle moment of Gladiator 2. Your performance in this is genuinely astounding. I think it's going to change your life, but also there's so much happening in the world of Irish acting right now. Killian winning an Oscar, you being nominated, Andrew, like everyone who's doing everything, male, female, young, old.
Yeah.
This is incredible. We're so proud of you. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Mescal.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
It is Today FM.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.